From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Contents and Consequences of Paul's Sermon in Antioch and Pisidia, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3. Why sit we here until we die? Dear listener, these devotionals were mainly intended for the edification of believers. But if you are yet unsaved, our heart yearns over you, and we would fain say a word which may be blessed to you. Open your Bible and read the story of the lepers, and mark their position, which was much the same as yours. If you remain where you are, you must perish. If you go to Jesus, you can but die. Nothing venture, nothing win, is the old proverb, and in your case the venture is no great one. If you sit still in sullen despair, no one can pity you when your ruin comes. But if you die with mercy sought, if such a thing were possible, you would be the object of universal sympathy. None escape who refuse to look to Jesus, but you know that, at any rate, some are saved who believe in him, for certain of your own acquaintances have received mercy. Then why not you? The Ninevites said, Who can tell? Act upon the same hope, and try the Lord's mercy. To perish is so awful that if there were but a straw to catch at, the instinct of self-preservation should lead you to stretch out your hand. We have thus been talking to you on your own unbelieving ground. We would now assure you, as from the Lord, that if you seek him, he will be found of you. Jesus casts out none who come unto him. You shall not perish if you trust him. On the contrary, you shall find treasure far richer than the poor lepers gathered in Syria's deserted camp. May the Holy Spirit embolden you to go at once, and you shall not believe in vain. When you are saved yourself, publish the good news to others. Hold not your peace. Tell the king's household first, and unite with them in fellowship. Let the porter of the city, the minister, be informed of your discovery, and then proclaim the good news in every place. The Lord save thee ere the sun goes down this day.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace.
The Savior's
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to Acts chapter 13, part of the record of Paul's first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas traveled to a number of cities in Asia Minor, but their visit to Antioch in Pisidia was of special and far-reaching importance. Having brought the gospel to the Jews there, Paul was invited by some Gentiles to preach to them as well.
That so angered the Jews that they rejected the gospel. This became a turning point in Paul's ministry, as he declared his conviction that from that day God wanted the focus of his preaching to be to the Gentile nations. The passage in Acts 13 contains one of the longest of Paul's recorded sermons. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns will explore the contents and the consequences of Paul's sermon. Now to introduce this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning this morning once again to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 13. Now, if you have been with us in past Sabbath mornings, you'll know that as we have conducted the studies in the book of Acts, we have reached as far as verse 13. Last Lord's Day, we were thinking of the desertion by John Mark of Paul and Barnabas during their first missionary journey. Now, the rest of the chapter, verse 14 through to 52, forms one complete section. And while it's possible to take a number of texts out of that section, since through the book and see the development of the thought in the book, we're not just going to take texts here and there. Now, that puts us in something of a difficulty, because you'll see that from verse 14 to 52 is a very long section. And I was just thinking last night, when I thought of the things that I had before me to say, really, there's material here for four different messages before you really start to get down into the details. So we are in something of, what we would say back home, something of a bind. Well, we're going to get through this section all at one go so that we can hopefully reach the end of the book of Acts before the end of the millennium. We may not get through before the beginning, but however, we hope to end before the end of the millennium, so we're going to have to accelerate slightly. Now, I'm not going to read the entire portion. We're going to read a few verses at the beginning of the portion, verse 14, and one or two verses later on, and then I'll ask you to keep your Bibles open, and we'll make comments on various other portions as we go on with the message. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which will fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now then, let's skip out a few verses, and let's look at verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. We leave the reading at verse 39. The Lord will add his blessing to these segments out of the 13th chapter of Acts for his name's sake. You may remember that starting at verse 4 in the book of Acts, we outlined all that followed, giving the mandate which these two apostles received to set out in their missionary journey. And then we thought of the message that they preached, and then we commenced to consider their ministry. I gave you the list of places which they visited on their first missionary journey, and I told you something that would highlight their ministry in each particular place. In Cyprus, there was a great demonstration of divine power as the Lord overcame Bar-Jesus or Elymas, the sorcerer. Then in Perga, there was the great disappointment as John Mark defected and went his way instead of going on with the work of God. Now we come to Antioch. It should be kept in mind that this is quite a distinct city from the Antioch from which they set out. The Antioch, of which we read in chapter 13, verse 1, the site of a great church, the cradle of Gentile Christianity, is Antioch in Syria. But this is Antioch in Pisidia, a much lesser city, and yet here made famous by the preaching of the Apostle Paul. In this Antioch, we have what we have called Paul's great declaration. Now, I think when you study the 13th chapter of Acts from verse 14 through to the end, you'll find one of the most important sermons which the inspired apostle ever preached. Important for many, many different reasons. As was their custom, Paul and Barnabas went first to the synagogue of the Jews, and they commenced preaching to the Jews, for salvation is of the Jew, and it is unto the Jew first, and then unto the Gentile. In Antioch and Pisidia, something strange happened. As they preached the glad tidings to the Jews, the Gentiles got to hear about it, and they determined that the same gospel must be preached unto them, that they would like to hear this word of salvation. And so on the second Sabbath day, a great gathering of Gentiles came to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude of Gentiles attending the ministry of the apostles, that was more than their blind, bitter, and bigoted minds could take. And so, with blasphemy against the name of the Savior, they set out to oppose the apostles and finally sought to drive them from the city. Thus, Paul and Barnabas were led of the Lord to take a tremendous decision, a decision which is recorded in verse 46, which can be read over very easily, and yet a decision which changed the course of the entire missionary movement of the early Christian church. Paul said, verse 46, seeing ye put it, that is the word of salvation, the word of God, seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And while he always had a burden for the Jewish people, while he would never give them up without a witness, nonetheless, from this point onwards, Paul recognized his calling from God was to make his major thrust among the Gentiles and to get the gospel out to the heathen nations of the world. As I say, a turning point in the missionary history of the Church of Jesus Christ. And following this, Gentiles in their thousands came to know Christ as Savior, indeed in their millions, and churches were established for the proclamation of the gospel. So this is an important passage from that point of view. But It's also important from a much more practical and immediate point of view. That is that here we have one of the few extended examples of apostolic preaching. Here you have one of those very few sermons given to us in the Word of God, the sermons which changed the course of the world and brought men and women to Christ. Now, I don't think we have all Paul's sermon here, but I think we have more than a mere analysis of it. I think that very clearly what we have are Paul's own words. When Luke is inspired to say, Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, then we can be sure we have what Paul said. We have all that the Holy Ghost reckons we ought to have for our benefit from what Paul said. So here we have an extended record of a sermon preached by the inspired Apostle Paul. Now, when you come to think of that, that makes this passage not unique, because there are other passages where we have sermons inspired of the Lord. But it makes it very, very important and very, very significant. Because I believe that the preaching which shook the Roman Empire, the preaching which then shook not only Imperial Rome, but some 15 centuries later, shook Papal Rome, is the very same preaching which will shake the world today for Jesus Christ. I think that we have got to get away from the notion that what we need are fresh methods. What we need today is to get back to the old message of the gospel preached in its pristine purity and preached in Holy Ghost power. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to think of the contents of this sermon and then think very quickly of its consequences. Now, in many cases where I would like to take time to expound more fully and to apply the word more fully, I'm going to have to go a little faster and skip over things that really do deserve much, much deeper treatment. And I trust that as I mention them, you'll think of them much more fully for yourselves. Let's think of the contents of this sermon. The contents fall into two parts. Taking Paul's own words, we have at the end of verse 26, to you is the word of salvation sent. So the contents of the sermon, first and foremost, deal with the word of salvation sent. And then you will notice a little later on, the second part of the contents, verse 40, 41, beware therefore. Now comes the application. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, etc. So here is the warning against salvation scorned. He starts off giving the word of salvation. That's the doctrine. And then he gives a warning about scorning this salvation. And that is the application of the doctrine. Every good sermon should have doctrine and should have application. So often nowadays we imagine that there should be a teaching ministry and then there should be a salvation sort of sermon, a salvation ministry. Well, now I believe that there are sermons, there are messages which are preeminently to teach God's people. And I believe that there are others which are with a much more definite evangelistic thrust. But let me say this. In the most evangelistic of sermons, there ought to be a definite doctrinal content. That's the trouble with so much modern day gospel preaching, that it is devoid of doctrinal content. It becomes a mere harangue which is addressed to ungodly men, pleading with them to make a commitment, to make a decision, and they're not told who God is, what God is, who Jesus is, what he has done, what the decision called for is all about. I believe that when the doctrine is set, when the basic doctrinal position is laid down, then the application can be made and the Holy Ghost will bless it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.